Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, welcome, PGN family. It's good to be here again. So grateful to be here, have another opportunity. We just thank God for allowing us yet another day to come and to share and to experience Him. And I'm one of your hosts, Terrence.
And I'm your other host, Tanisha, and today is February 23rd, 2022. It is 7:12 p.m. Central Standard Time, and we are excited to be here. Thank you for tuning in tonight.
Absolutely. I was excited, even when physically sometimes you don't feel like doing something, but when you really know what the value of something is and what it's worth, you tend to have a different care for it. You tend to be like, you know what, I don't care about how I feel. I'm going in. I'm going on anyhow. I'm going to go ahead on and go on in anyhow. I pray that you all had a great weekend. And thus far, holiday, President's Day, was Monday, this past Monday. For those of you out here in Texas, we right now dealing with some ice. Well, supposedly icy conditions that has shut down the whole state almost. just a couple of little flurries or what have you. But,
yeah. Some roads are worse than others. It's just like, you know, certain spots.
Yeah.
It's really cold, though. I will say that.
Yeah, it could be cold.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you be looking at it, we sit right here and be like, ooh, 22 degrees is cold. Until you feel negative 22.
Right. When I went to Chicago, I really realized what true cold
was. My dad used to always say to me, like, you cold, put some clothes on. He's like, you hot, drink you some water, sit down somewhere. Like, okay. That's the solution. But we're grateful to be here as always. We be having fun. We connect, but the Lord, he is worthy to be praised. And let's just pray. Lord, we thank you for another day. Lord, we thank you for yet another moment, opportunity, Lord, to just witness your presence, Lord, your power, love, and kindness, and just witness you and how you have things planned and how you have things set up and already worked out. Lord, we just thank you for our journeys. That we're all on the path that you have all of us on, Lord. We thank you for it now in Jesus' name. And Lord, we just pray that we honor the path that you have us on with the right attitudes, you know, honor the path with the right faith, with faith in you, honoring the path and really staying focused and true to what you have called us to do. And really not try to figure out how you want it done. Just do it. You know, cause sometimes we always try to figure you out. Lord, we're just trying to put you in a box and say that this is the only way you're going to do this. It's the only way God's going to bless this. And blah, blah, blah. You know, but Lord, I've learned that as we've continued to walk with you, Lord, that you show us who you are. You make it personal to mm-hmm. us. And Lord, we just thank you for being a personal Savior. We thank you for being a personal God. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Thank you.
We can't thank you enough for all that you've done. Things that we've seen and things that we are still waiting to see.
Mm-hmm.
Waited to see it manifest. It's things that I've already seen that you've shown me already. But I want to continue to hold on to my faith to know that what you've shown me is real, that it's not something that's going to happen. It's something that already has happened in its time. Because you're the God of past, present, and future. So, if you said it's done, it's done. So Lord, we won't discount who you are.
Mm-hmm.
We won't discount your glory. We won't discount your power. We won't discount your omnipotence. We won't do that. But yet we'll continue to trust you more.
Mm-hmm.
Continue to love you more. Continue to seek you more for instruction. Guide us. Continue to want to see things the way you see it. Just continue to grow us and develop us into who you call us to be. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Well,
what I wanted to discuss, I was pulling up scripture. I wanted to kind of touch on what we discussed. I want to say it was last Wednesday when the Lord's been revealing to me the deception that's going to come in the earth and how it's going to come in the earth. And what the Lord had revealed and what we shared last week was that it's going to come in the form of sins, right? Like things making sense. And a little bit before we came on, the Lord expanded on that with me. And he said, one of the things that's going to, that people are going to use, right? Because think about the things that make things make sense. Typically, there's facts involved, right? And that's something that even people use, like when they feel like they're in the right, even in the slang term that people say facts or hashtag facts if they're online. And the Lord told me that there are many facts, and many facts are lies. And I'm like, okay, that's very true. And that's what's going to happen with when the deception comes on. Because even the elite, the word says, is going to be some of the elite. Not all of them will be deceived. And what's going to happen is they're going to fact check. But just because it's a fact does not make it the truth. And so the Lord is saying that we need to be seekers of the truth. Scrutinize it all. It's going to maybe take time, but it's better to use your time for something valuable than to be deceived. You know, a person, we live in different times now, right? A person can be God assigned a man, but say that they identify as a female. And so they can put on their applications or whatever the case may be, they could put that they are a female. And if they're not able to do that legally, then they can put in their job title or email or whatever, she, her. And so the world would say, the fact is this person is a she, her, but that's a lie. And so that's just giving you an example. It's going to start to become deeper than that. You know, that's something that we can immediately prove for the most part. Somebody says, oh yeah, she, they're referring to somebody that you have to interview and they're calling this person a her and a she. And so in your mind, you're waiting to see a woman and a dude shows up. That fact is going to be undone rather quickly. And you're going to know what's going on because just the time that we live in, you know, that people have the ability to identify as things that are not what they are. And that the expectation is to label them and call them and address them by what they identify, what they identify as. So that's something that's easy. But these facts are not going to be so easy to identify, because this is going to be new stuff thrown on us, right? It took time to get to this state where people are identifying. I read a news article about some singer or somebody that said that they're going to raise their kid as non-binary, which to me is, I don't understand how you do that. So if the child gravitates, the child is born female, gravitates towards dolls and pink, then they're not going to accept that because they want the child to choose their gender at some point. But if a child is naturally gravitating towards dolls and pink, and this is not something that you're putting on them, why would you try to stop that? Like, the deception runs deep. This is the world that we live in, though. And because we know that this is the world that we live in, again, if a scenario came up where somebody's referring to somebody as a she, her, and then they show up and it's, you know, Larry with a beard, you're going to know what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
That, okay, Larry identifies as a woman, but really is a dude. But because of the way the world is, I understand what's going on here. So imagine if that was happening 15 years ago. People are saying she, her, and all this, and Larry with the beard shows up. You'd be confused. Like, what in the world?
Mm-hmm.
There's some sort of mistake? because I kept saying they said she and they're going to send somebody and she's a hard worker and you'll really like her. Here you are, Larry. So I think there's some sort of mistake here. I'm going to call down to the staffing agency and see what's going on, because maybe this I don't know what's happening here. Like, there would be a lot of confusion where nowadays you'd be like, oh, okay, I met Larry. You would already assume, like, oh, Larry must identify as a she, her, versus if it was 15 years ago, you would think some wires got crossed somewhere because that was not the norm back then. Still a lot, but not normal. So now it's not, you're not going to clutch your pearls if that was to happen, because it's so normal that people are now desensitized to that. You're just like, oh, okay, you just go along, business as usual. So if there's a deception that comes on and you're not even used to it, you're not going to identify right away that this is a deception. You're not going to identify that this fact is cloaked and that it's truly a lie. And so God is preparing us. And if we stay close to God and what he's saying, and if we have an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying, we will be able to identify it. Because this type of teaching is not going to come from the world. See, this gender assignment and all this kind of stuff, that's a worldly teaching. There's nothing in the Bible that says, and you know, he created man, you know, and man decided to continue to be a man. That's not there. There's nothing in the Word of God that tells us that people have the right, the spiritual right, to determine that they are something outside of what God has created them to be. Yeah. Because God is who creates you. Your parents are like the path, but God created the car.
Yeah.
So that's worldly. We've been taught that by worldly wisdom, right? The wisdom of man, which the Word of God says is the wisdom of fools. And so the world can't teach us about what's coming, about what's going to be behind these facts. This is only going to come from the Spirit of God. And you have to be a pupil in order to get the assignment, in order to learn, right? It's like, you're not going to get a degree if you never go to school. You can maybe write one out, but it's not going to be accredited, and it might get laughed at and get you thrown in a padded room. So you have to become a pupil, a student of the Word, and you have to be very close to the Lord and ask him, what are you saying? And not be so quick to jump on facts. Do not do that. Oh, I'm going with that because that's a fact. And I've seen people do that even during this political time and, you know, with the changes in the medical community and all this kind of stuff, where people are so quick to jump on facts because certain people said it. Oh, well, this group of people said it, so it's a fact. And then I'll say, well, who's in that group of people? Name one person. They can't. But because the name of the group of people holds so much weight, they will dismiss their ability to research and to even take it before the Lord and make decisions and take actions based on quote-unquote facts. So this is how, this is the deception that is coming into the earth that the Antichrist is going to bring. Because like we discussed last week, he's not coming with the pitchfork and horns. He's not coming as somebody who's ugly and be just talking crazy and is oof and doesn't, no, he's going to come with facts. Reason, right? It's going to sound reasonable. It's probably going to be attractive. I don't know, because I don't know who it is. Probably going to have that Hollywood smile. It's going to come speaking peace and unity. And how are people going to buy into it? Because his false prophet is going to perform quote-unquote miracles. And people are going to take those miracles and they're going to say, oh, this man is divine, because the fact is that his right-hand man is able to do this, that, and the other. Dude, don't you be deceived. Don't you be deceived. All facts are not the truth. We are living in a time, and this is a conditioning from the enemy. We are living in a time where what's true is looked at as what's bad, and lies are like accepted. Praised even. I mean, look at some cultures where scamming people is like, oh yeah, people high five, oh yeah, they scammed, they got their money, they secured their bag, they, you know, they made sure they ate and all this other crazy mess, where back in the day, being a scammer would get you ostracized, jail time,
right,
shunned. You might as well put a scarlet letter on you. People, oh, I'm not dealing with that person. Mm-mm. You're discarded. You're out of there. Now people accept it. Then if you come and say that was the wrong thing to do, well, who are you to judge? I beg your pardon? Mm-hmm. Only God can judge me. It's craziness. So the devil has been conditioning the minds of the people to where when these facts and this deception comes out, people are already conditioned to actually crave lies. Look at social media. You've got, if you're on there, right, you've got friends, family that's on there. Maybe you have that one family member. You legit don't know what they really look like because they put a filter on every single picture. And people will praise, oh, man, you're so beautiful. You look so amazing. Knowing it's a filter. No, it doesn't fool well that that is not what Aunt Hilda looks like. But people will praise it. They said, you ain't seen Aunt Hilda in 2-3 years, and you legit don't know what Aunt Hilda looked like, even though she put a picture online every day. Because she's filtered. But this is acceptable. When I was coming up, to alter your appearance, that was like, that was a no-go. That's fraud. That's deception.
Mm-hmm.
Even the no women wore extensions, that was, whoosh. Don't you tell nobody that's not your hair. Now, people wearing hair down to their ankles. It's dragging in the dirt, and it's acceptable. So what's not real is now acceptable. And you might say, that's not a big deal. People can wear their hair how they want. And yeah, I believe people could wear their hair how they want. If you want to wear hair down to your ankles with rocks and grass dragging it, that's on you. But what I'm saying is that it's those subtle little things that are conditioning you. You might think a filter is not a big deal. It's a conditioning to where you are, where you see that what's fake is acceptable.
Mm-hmm.
And where you don't, it doesn't raise any red flags. You don't feel no type of way when Aunt Hilda got that filter on her, making her look like she's 12, and we know good full well that lady's 68 years old. You don't even feel no type of way. You just keep scrolling. But before you be like, what's happening here? What in the glamour shop is going on with this photo? Like, is this an old photo? Or is like you start questioning, hey, where'd this picture come from? What year was this taken? It's like your high school photo, or it would cause you to question, is what I'm saying. Where now you're so, people are so conditioned, they don't question things, they just accept it, that that's just the way it is. And if you continue that mentality, you will be deceived. You need to question things, because when this deception comes on with these facts and with this sense, if you're the type that just, if you lazy, or you don't want to be seen as a certain way, like a conspiracy theorist or whatever they call people who question things, you're going to be deceived. I don't want to be deceived. I've been deceived in life. It doesn't feel good. But so guess what? It's going to come out that you have been deceived.
Mm-hmm.
The Antichrist doesn't just ride off into the sunset. Nobody is none the wiser. But that was the Antichrist. No, you're going to know at some point. And at what cost? What will you have done?
Right.
What kind of alliance will you have made? What damage would you have caused? It's not just about you. It's about all of us. We are a body. One body. Word of God is the body of Christ. There's a body. That's singular. So we are all interconnected. We all affect one another. So it's important for the good of us all that we're not deceived. Because even look at what went down during the election, right? Randy has been talking about this. Now, a lot of well-respected men and women of God were making predictions, right? Trump's going to win. America's going to be great again. Thumbs up. God bless America. And so because these people were well-respected, their followers got a certain confidence to where they were matter-of-facting. Yeah, Trump's going to win. He's going to... If you really sought God, because we know what happened, right? He did not win. But if you were really truly seeking God and questioning things, God is not like man that he should lie. And God would have revealed, no, he's not. Or he would have been silent to where you could not confirm that. That I know that, you know, Bob from the church down the street said that, but I don't, God did not tell me that. So mm-hmm. I don't know if that's a if that's truth or not. The fact is Bob said it with full confidence and said that if he's not true, he'll eat a glass sandwich. But so that's a lot of confidence he's got in feeling like he heard that, but I didn't hear that. I heard Bob say it, but I didn't hear God say it. So that would have been the stance, not like, yeah, I'm rolling with Bob because I'll eat a glass sandwich too if he doesn't win. A lot of people was eating their foot, I'll tell you that. A lot of people was eating crow. And so how did that happen? Because we all are affected by one another. Especially when it's somebody that you love and respect, you'll go along and you'll trust what they're saying without questioning it.
Mm-hmm.
You're just going to go right along like the Pied Piper. They're Pied Piper you right into the lies. And what I'm saying is that you need to question things. Because if even the elite can be deceived, you could be deceived by your pastor or some well-respected believer. Question it. I don't care how long they've been getting it right. They could have been right for the last 20 years. Deception, once deception comes, it all changes. Now it's deception. It's not rooted in truth anymore. Everybody ain't seeking to hear what the voice of the Lord has to say. Some people are seeking to hear what does the voice of the generation have to say and how can I cater to that. Everybody don't have the same motive, even though they have the same placement.
Right.
And so it's up to you. There's more, God is putting more accountability on us as individuals because there's been too much of this whole, just whatever pastor says or whatever the masses are saying, it's too much of that. Too much riding on other people's prayers and coattails and all this kind of stuff. No, it's time to cultivate your own. Because time is running out. We will face the Lord, every single last one of us. We are all accountable for our own walk. And if you're in a position of teaching or a pastor or even a prophet, right, there's a higher standard. There is a higher standard. So I know myself. I don't got time. I'm not trying to lead nobody wrong. I don't want to be deceived, period, for me. And I certainly don't want to be deceived for you. Because we're all called for somebody. All of us are. So your deception, if you're deceived, somebody else going to be deceived too, likely. And that's why it's important if you are a prophet, pastor, if you are a teacher, whatever, that you are training and conditioning your people to cultivate their own relationship and to question things.
Mm-hmm.
I would never tell you to just blindly go by what I'm saying. And I know that what I'm saying is true. But it's my job. I'm not going to teach you to do that because if you do that with me, then you'll do that with somebody else that you trust. And I'm not saying that to trust people. I'm saying to consult the Lord. Because at any given time, a person that you love and trust can be deceived. And we're just coming into a different season, a different time. And it's better to be prepared now so when it happens, you're like, oh, I already know what that is. Right. Nope. Lord already told me. than to be sitting there with your hands on your cheeks like, oh, what's going on? You don't want to get caught just shrugging, don't know what's happened, don't know what's going on, trying to get caught up because you're just so behind in the knowledge. Seek wisdom. Seek his voice. Seek his ways. Because these things are going to teach you what you need to know. It's not coming from the world. You're not going to see it on no news station. It's going to come from the Lord. Now, he could very well use your favorite pastor, prophet, teacher, whatever. But position yourself to where you're listening to that kind of stuff, too. And still be seeking God. Is this coming from you, Lord? Confirm it, Father God, because I want to be making sure the information that's being given is coming from you. Because you'd be surprised the source of some people's information. The Lord also told me before we came on, he was talking about pride. And that a lot of people, even people in positions of power, are not going to want to admit this deception with the facts because of pride. And he told me, that's what I'm looking at when parents are talking. I'm going to read the scripture. You guys know it. You know it well. And if you don't, you better. You better put this in your heart and keep it there. I'm going to read it out of probably 3 or 4 versions because I'm just trying to hammer this into you tonight. I'm going to drive this in. If you don't get anything from the message tonight, get this. This is Proverbs 16:18. Pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Now let's read King James Version. Pride goeth before destruction and an haughty spirit before a fall. Let's read it out of the message. First pride, then the crash. The bigger the ego, the harder the fall. Let's go to NIV. Pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. So in case you didn't get that, let's break the scripture down. Okay? Oh, first, let's read it out of the New International Reader's Version. I've never heard of that. I don't know why it's downloaded, but I want to read it anyway. If you are proud, you will be destroyed. If you are proud, you will fall. Now, let's read it again out of the Amplified. That's my favorite. Pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. This is not saying what can happen, right? The Lord is using the scripture to state a fact. Because sometimes things can be, it can, right? There's a difference between it is and what it's going to be and what it can be, right? There's what's going to and then there's potential to. This says pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before fall. Somebody might say, well, I'm not haughty. Well, let's look it up. What does that even mean? Glad you asked that. Let's put it in haughty definition, because that's not like really a term that we use a lot nowadays, right? Mm-hmm. So you can say haughty, and they're going to take that a whole different way, trust me. You say that person's haughty, they're going to be like, oh, yeah, they look kind of good. You know, that's what they're going to, that's where their mind's going to go if they hear haughty, right? So Merriam-Webster defines haughty as blatantly and disdainfully proud. Having or showing an attitude of superiority and contempt for people or things perceived to be inferior. Whew. That's a massive ego, right? So that's haughty. So they're not saying you look good if they're calling you haughty. You have been insulted. So the Word of God tells us that pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to happen. And there's going to be some people of power who are not going to like what the Lord has to say about these facts, because they're going to agree with facts. Oh yeah, those facts. Because people feel comfortable when things have been fact checked, right? They're comfortable aligning with things. Oh yeah, I'm comfortable with this because this is the facts. but not realizing that, again, facts can be lies. Don't be deceived. Facts can be lies. But a lot of people want things to quote fact check. They're comfortable now. Right? They want to endorse it now. Yeah, I'm endorsed that because these are, I've got facts, I've got statistical data, I've got this, that, and the other spreadsheet, and all this other stuff. Facts bring comfort, make people drop their guard.
Mm-hmm.
Facts make people sleep comfy cozy at night. Because they feel like, oh yeah, I'm on the right side because they showed me some facts. You ever got, like, prescribed a medication and they put facts on the drug facts on it,
mm-hmm.
right, to make you feel comfortable taking it. They're going to put some possible side effects too, but then they put like drug facts and all this stuff to make you feel good. And just because that has some drug facts that you really can't understand, it's like reading hieroglyphics, it's supposed to make you feel comfortable and know what's in it. Like, oh yeah, they put all what's in it in here, so that makes me comfortable. Well, have you researched what's in it? To cause blindness? Because like, have you researched like what percentage of people die or whatever, have permanent muscle loss or whatever, you know, whatever the case may be? But because the facts are there, people, oh well, yeah, it can't be that bad. Facts are there. That's a lie. Sometimes they hide it right in plain sight.
Mm-hmm.
To get you to drop your guard and be comfy. And that's what we talked about too last week. That the being comfortable is what's going to get a lot of people caught up in that deception. Because it's uncomfortable to question things, especially like that election. So at the time, you think that was comfortable for Randy to be going against what the whole Christian community was basically saying? Everybody's like, Trump. And here he goes, no, Biden. What? That's not comfortable to go against the grain. It's not comfortable to go against the masses. But when you know that you know that God has said it, you do what needs to be done. And your comfort doesn't even come into consideration or play. It doesn't matter. Nevertheless, not my will be done, but your will be done. Even though you sweat and blood. It takes a lot to sweat blood and still say, nevertheless, not my will be done. You know how much stress you have to be under to sweat blood? You know, I've never sweated blood before, but I know some people who are known people who, when they were under a tremendous amount of sweat, stress, would get nosebleeds.
Mm-hmm.
And so I imagine it's like kind of like that, where that tremendous amount of stress is causing blood vessels to burst and you're sweating blood. That has to be a lot of stress. But look at how hard we scramble not to die, right? We're conditioned to do everything in our power not to die. And here Jesus knew that that was the one thing that he like was the like absolute requirement. Can't get away from that. Like, can I just stub and tell the Lord, like, you know, like maybe break it, like break my ankle and then I can shed some blood. He knew that it was death or nothing. And he was in the form of a man. So he experienced all the emotions that we experience. So his nature as a human was to preserve life. But know that his assignment was to die. It's one thing when you die and you just wake up in glory. You're like, oh my gosh, how'd I get here? You don't know what happened. It's another thing when you already know what day. You know, it's not going to be like they give you some delicious, tasty drink that tastes like grape juice and you're out of there. You know it's going to be painful, a painful death. These people they want your head. This is not going to be fun times. It wasn't going to be quick or easy. So already by human nature, you want to preserve life because that's just something in us. And then you know that you have to lose your life. But this is a requirement. There's no getting around that. And then the death is probably going to be long, dragged out, and extremely painful. I'd be sweating blood too. So knowing these things, because he had truth, knowing these truths, he still said, nevertheless, not my will be done, but your will be done. But some people won't say that because they want to stay comfortable. They ain't facing no death. They ain't facing no getting spit and a thorn, a crown being put on their head get their side pierced and being nailed to a cross, but they will say, I'm not never, uh-uh. They will deceive themselves into saying, uh-uh, this is what, this is God's will, because Bob down the street said it, and I'm comfortable. So I'm not going to start questioning things that make me uncomfortable. I'm not going to open the, you know, the Pandora's box, start having all this stuff come out. Now it makes me uncomfortable, and now I look like I'm some troublemaker. But yeah, here's Jesus, sweat and blood, knowing what's going to happen, and still put aside what would have been comfortable for him.
Mm-hmm.
So how much more do you need to make sure that you're operating in wisdom and truth? Because sometimes facts do line up with the truth. Nobody's saying it's facts or nothing. I mean, facts or the truth. No, sometimes they are one and the same, but not always. So you can't count on them. Truth is truth. Facts are just that. It's like a recording of something, right? To be this is what happened. Because I could say I gave Terrence $20 bill, and the fact is that I told him to give me a $20 bill back, and he never gave me that $20 bill back. He never gave me a $20 bill. That's a fact. But the truth is, he cash apped me the $20. Do you see what I'm saying? So it could be, it's a recording of an event, basically a fact. But it doesn't always mean that it's presenting the truth. So they're like, what kind of man is Terrence? He took $20 from that girl and didn't give her $20 back. That ain't right. I ain't never loaned him no money. And I could say I didn't lie because he did not give me a $20 bill back. So I could go to court, come on, follow me. They could put me on the stand and I could raise my right hand to the Bible, and an attorney can ask, did Terrence give you a $20 bill back? And I could say, hand to the Bible, he did not. Ooh, here goes the jury. There's a rumble in the courtroom. He could be convicted of something if the attorney don't ask the right questions. If my defense attorney doesn't ask the right questions and doesn't question it. Imagine if you were in court. Let's say Terrence was in court because I said Terrence didn't ever give me my $20 bill back. I know I got that Cash App, but the agreement was that he was supposed to give me $20 bill back, so I'm charging him with that. And Terrence has an attorney, and he never asks no questions because he's like, well, shoot, my client's guilty. He did not give her the $20 bill back. But doesn't dare to ask, well, did you pay her back at all?
Mm-hmm.
That lack of question, Terrence is out of there because even he could not deny the facts. I did not give her a $20 bill back because that's the way it's being asked. This is how the facts thing is going to be, that if you don't ask the right questions, you will be deceived. And you still will be operating in a fact. Oh, yeah, because he even admitted
mm-hmm. He
didn't give her a $20 bill back. So I'm comfortable. I'm on the jury. I'm comfortable convicting him because even he said he didn't give her a $20 bill back. I'm sleeping at night. I'm going to convict this man, and I feel good at night because I don't want to be that jury member. Well, did he give her back the $20 at all? I'm not trying to ruffle no feathers because everybody's ready to say, guilty, we want to get home, we're sick of jury duty. No, I'm comfortable, they're comfortable with it. The man admitted on the stand that he didn't give him $20 bill, but nobody asked him, did you give him the $20? This is how deception works. This is what we are going to be witnessing. Do not get comfortable with facts. Be that person. Well, did he pay back the $20? Who said that? We're ready to go home. Be that person. You will ruffle feathers. You will be seen as a troublemaker. Who cares? I'd rather be seen as a troublemaker amongst men than an unfaithful servant. because you might be the jury foreman. You might have influence over the jury, and you're like, yeah, in fact, that man's guilty. He said he didn't, and now because they're comfortable with you, you got charisma, and you sound all matter-of-fact, and you really sound like you know your stuff. Now they're going along with it. Yeah, because that chick said that he's guilty because she pointed it out. She had a little stick pointy thing, and she said, see, right here is when he gave her the money and got the money from her, and right here is when he said this, that, and the other. I mean, you sound like you know your stuff. And then guys, remember when they asked him if he gave a $20 bill? He said he did not give a $20 bill. He's guilty. Let's all just vote right now and vote guilty. And this is what we will do. We will drag other people into our deception because of facts. Ask the question. Most importantly, ask God. And if you do serve on a jury, don't you serve on no jury and go by facts. You better pray and ask God what's the truth. Especially in the legal realm. They cloak it. They hide it. It's a play on words, and it's what they're saying, what they're not saying. You got to be savvy. Especially when somebody else's freedom or finances or whatever is in your hands because you're a jury of their peers. You know how many people have been falsely accused based on quote-unquote facts? How can you have true facts but a false imprisonment? Make it make sense. Deception. Don't you be deceived with your permission. Don't you be deceived because you're lazy. Don't be deceived because of your comfort. Don't be deceived because you don't want your peers to view you a certain way. These are all paths that can leave us in a place of deception that will usher us along to it. Yes, come on, come along, follow me. We'll take you to a land of pure deception. Because you don't want to ruffle feathers or be seen as a troublemaker. You don't want to ask. All facts ain't true. And the Antichrist is going to come with his book of facts. With his little fake prophet performing little fake miracles. Leaving the world in awe. Ooh, look at what he did. Pulled a rabbit out of his hat. Wow. They're going to be so amazed. Surely a man who is doing all these great things can't be a man that's not of God. This is what they're going to think. Ain't studied the word of God a day in their life. You could have threw a Bible upside their head, they wouldn't identify it. They file a police report against you and say they threw a book at me, not knowing it was a Bible. But they will say that that's a fact. A man can't be doing great things and be of the devil. They will say that. And guess what? Some Christians are going to say, yeah, you're right. Huh? So nobody read the book of Revelation. They're going to let the world tell them what to think. This man's doing great work. Surely a man doing great work like that isn't a man of the devil. Mm-hmm. And believers, that's true. Because the fact is, come on, somebody. The fact is he does this and his right-hand guy healed this person and did this, that, and the other, yeah, they're going to be deceived because of facts. But failing to remember the fact is that the Word of God warns that the false prophet and what the Antichrist, the type of things they will do. So if they were close to God, if there was any word, they could tell this person that says, surely, and say, no, the Word of God, this is prophetic. The Word of God says that you can do this, that, and the other. Think about the scripture talks about I prophesied in your name and the Lord says, depart from me, you wicked, I never knew you. Let's pull up that scripture real quick. Let's pull it up. I don't know it by heart. My phone wants to change depart to department. Okay, so that is Matthew 7:21. Don't you just love the internet? Helps you to get things very quickly. Okay, So let's go there. Why am I acting like I don't know where Matthew is? Okay. Like over here by Proverbs? No. The whole New Testament. Okay, so there you go, Matthew. 7:21. This is in red, so this is the words of Christ. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day when I judge them, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name and driven out demons in your name and done many miracles in your name? And then I will declare to them publicly, I never knew you. Depart from me. You are banished from my presence, you who act wickedly, disregarding my commands. Don't be deceived and think just because somebody's prophesying in his name, casting out demons, that he's surely a man doing that is not of the devil. This is Jesus speaking, and he's going to say, depart from me, you wicked. If you're disregarding the commands of the Lord, you're acting wickedly. Just because you have the ability to prophesy and cast out demons and do miracles, listen to this. I mean, he didn't say, no, you didn't. They're going to say, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name and driven out demons in your name and done many miracles in your name? And then I will declare to them publicly, I never knew you. Depart from me. You are banished from my presence. You act wickedly, disregarding my commands. He didn't say, you didn't do that. He's going to say, I never knew you. The name of Jesus carries weight. I had a dream last night. I'm going to tell you this dream, and then we'll start praying over folks. I had a dream that Terrence and I bought this old house. And one of the people that we were like, I think we were going to like turn this house into like a bed and breakfast or something. I don't know. We were going to do something with this house. It was very old. And it was not where we were at. It was like somewhere deep south. And one of the keepers of the house was telling us that every night a razor blade would appear by the oven. And it was like some old-fashioned razor blade. And that they had set up cameras and all this stuff to try to figure out. They thought maybe somebody was doing it. And they said that, sure enough, every night, even with on camera, it would just show up. And they could not explain it. And I was like, the house was haunted. And they were like, you know, as a believer, the woman of God, you believe in haunted houses. And I'm like, yeah, demons are real. And so I started to pray. I said, we're going to get rid of these demons out of this house, because we're buying this house and we don't have time for razor blades to be on the oven. I literally said that in the dream. And so I started praying. I first started off praying in tongues. And then I started, the demons started to manifest. I started to see them physically. And they were all different types. Like some look like humans, some look like blobs. Like if you ever seen Ghostbusters, the character Slimer, some look like Slimer, but like very much like uglier. Some look like blubberfishes and all this. Like they just had a variety of different looks. If they were getting mad and they told me basically to kick rocks, they're like, you have no right to tell us to get rid of, to leave this house because the previous people did not serve Jesus and they were not godly. So we have the right to be here. Like these demons were like trying to argue with me and tell me to leave. To tell me, they said, you have no right to be here because we have the right to be here because the previous people opened the door to us and didn't serve God. And so I told them I had the right to tell them to leave under the authority of the name of Jesus. And they started getting mad. And they're still arguing with me. And so I'm like, I tell you what, demons, since you trying to use the legality of the previous owners that opened the door, and therefore you have the legal right to be here, I said, I plead the blood of Jesus over this whole house. And they're screaming, and they started to leave. Because you know why? The name of Jesus has weight. So they leave, and we exit the house, and they're outside waiting. Because now I pled the blood of Jesus over the house, but they're like, we're going to stay in the area now. Because you pled the blood of Jesus over the house, but you don't have authority over the outdoors, basically. And so I started to cast them back in the hill, and I pled the blood of Jesus over like the whole area, the city and all this. Is the part I didn't get a chance to tell Terrence. I told them about the first part, and they were just so piping mad, man. They were piping hot. And they left because the name of Jesus carries weight.
Mm-hmm.
Because what this scripture is saying in Matthew, these wicked, right? The ones that the Lord says he never knew. He don't know them, okay? And two, he's telling them to depart from him. So this is what we know about these people. Lord didn't know them and depart. And they said that they were prophesying in his name. Right? They didn't say, did we not prophesy? They said, did we not prophesy in your name and driven out demons in your name and done many miracles in your name? Yet Jesus himself is saying he never, it's one thing if he like, they were serving Christ at one point and then they like fell off. He said, I never knew you. That's like some random person coming up to you at the store like, hey, remember me from Connecticut? And you're like, I've never been to Connecticut a day in my life. You're like, no, we went to this elementary school together and we played, you know, lacrosse together. You're like, I never knew you. I don't know you. This is the first time I've ever seen you. Jesus denied all knowledge. I never knew you. He didn't say, I don't know you now. Or he didn't just say, depart from me, you wicked, to where we don't know it, how this was able to happen. See, the Bible is very deliberate with what it puts in there. Because if he just said, depart from me, you wicked, then here comes the theologians. Well, he just said, depart from me, you wicked, because obviously if they were able to do things at this time, that they were, you know, possession of the Holy Ghost, and at one point they did serve Christ, and then they fell off, but they didn't lose their gift. They would have found a way to make it make sense. But we know how they were able to do these things because they were doing it in the name of Jesus, even though he didn't know them.
Mm-hmm.
So don't be deceived into thinking that people can't do things, perform miracles like the Antichrist, false prophet will do, and don't think performing miracles and serving God correlate. Oh no, that person is godly because they perform miracles. That's a lie. This scripture alone tells us that that's a lie, because this people are going to be able to perform miracles in the name of Jesus, and Jesus doesn't know them. And we don't know how the Antichrist is going to do it. If he's going to use the name of Jesus, I don't know. But he's going to perform miracles. I know that. And we know even if a person does it in the name of Jesus, they cannot be serving Jesus. So imagine if they're doing it without the name of Jesus. How much more demonic is that? Don't be deceived. Don't do it. I wouldn't even be getting deep into this if it was impossible for us as believers to be deceived. That would be a them problem, right? Like, yeah, that deception coming, but we good on the deception. We're immune to that. No, we're not. We're not immune to it. But how do we fight it? How do we combat it? You gotta, it's better to be proactive than reactive. You don't want to be deceived and then trying to get yourself together. So let's do a collective prayer, and then let's pray over, since we only got 23 minutes, we'll pray over area codes and prefix. But first, let's do a collective prayer. Heavenly Father, we've come to you right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, thank you, Lord, for the word. Thank you for your word tonight. Thank you for the love that you have for us as your people, that you are a good God, that you are a God that prepares. Even your word is proof that you prepare, that you prepare us. We're never in the dark, so to speak. Even if we don't know day by day what's happening, we know the times, what's happening in the times. We can always take comfort that you're in control. And Father God, I just ask that we as a people would seek wisdom and seek truth above all things, that we would seek understanding, right? Your word says that we should seek understanding. We don't want knowledge without understanding. We don't want facts without truth. Help us to be bold and question. Help us to not just blindly follow. Help us to have strong discernment to where if something's not right, we sense that in our spirit. And help us to follow what the Spirit of God is saying. Because sometimes we don't. Sometimes we can love a person and respect a person, and something feels off, something doesn't feel right. And because of our love for that person, we don't want to acknowledge what we're feeling. but help us to be bold and acknowledge what we're feeling and to question it. Because we don't want anybody to be deceived. We don't want to, oh, that person's a deception and just go our merry way. No, we want to help them to come out of that deception too, to pray over them and to ask if there's something practically that we can even do. So Lord, we cover ourselves, our families, our homes, everything attached to us in your precious blood. Because the enemy is looking for openings, and we just close those doors tonight in your mighty name, Father God. The name above all names, the name of Jesus. The name that carries weight, the name that carries power, the name that gets things done. The name that has saved us. We do everything in your mighty name, Father God. Help us to stand in our authority as ambassadors and to know who we are.
Yes.
So the enemy doesn't just try to have his way with us and try to tell us what he's about to do. No, we have authority through the name of Jesus. And help us to walk in that. And help us to not just toss the name around like the wicked, but to be followers, true followers of your teachings and your ways. Lord, we just love and honor you, and we pray all these things in your name. Amen.
Yeah.
All right, let me scroll up. First caller is 682-738. Father God, we thank you for 682-738. We thank you for the power and authority and understanding what true power and what true authority looks like and how it operates, and that they will really walk in that. You know, a lot of times we think of power, we think of brawn and strength, but that's not always the way it's presented, right? Power gets things done, right? Power moves things, and it doesn't always have the same look. And authority has the right to change things. And so, Lord, I thank you that you're going to have them operate in power and authority. Sometimes it's quiet power. Power doesn't have to be loud, but it's going to get things done. And the same with authority. So I just thank you, Father God, that they're walking in that power and authority, and let that be done. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
What's next one? I can't see.
502-548.
Lord, thank you for 502-548. Father God, we just thank you for presenting, being ready to present and to be presented. Because when you present things, you're able to explain it. You're able to have a very definitive description of what it is that you are presenting. That's how God is with us. And what he wants to do with you, he wants to present you.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to make you be present. He wants you to be present so you can be presented. And if you don't show up, you can't be presented. So show up so God can show people like who you are. And what and meaning showing up is really just coming in agreement with who God has called you to be. We're just coming in agreement like, yes, Lord. Yes, I will.
Yes.
Amen. That's what I got for you, Jesus' name.
Amen. Next caller is 828-989. Lord, we thank you for 828-989 for the calm and the peace and the stillness of God, and just understanding, like, sometimes things seem like it's just a lot to where you almost feel, like, paranoid, where you're like, what do I believe? What do I trust? And that's not... God wants you to always have peace, always have peace above all things. Because when you are seeking God and when you are doing everything in your ability to ensure that you are doing what he desires, like you're okay. You're fine. And I see you really operating in peace to where you're not overly thinking and overly like, was that God? Was it not God? Was it, you know, like God honors God knows your thoughts. God knows what you're believing to be true. And God knows that you're seeking what you're seeking. You're seeking him above all things. And so when that fear comes on, that's not of God. Fear, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, peace, and of a sound mind. And so I see you really operating in peace. Where with some people, it might be taken as kind of being nonchalant, where they're like, man, how can you be chill? And you're like, because that's just the way I need to be. Everything's going to work itself out. Like I'm walking with God and I'm going to be fine. And I see you really, really walking in that. So Lord, we just thank you for that. Let that be done in Jesus' name. Amen. Next one is 251-229.
251-229. Lord, we thank you. Lord, the increase. Lord, we thank you for increase. Lord, we thank you for adjustments. Like it's some adjustments that need to be made. Adjustments are going on. Adjustments can be made every day. And a lot of times I'm not even going to say a lot of the times, but we have to know what type of adjustments are needed. Just because adjustments are needed doesn't necessarily mean things have been going bad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can be dressed to the max and have a nice outfit on and might need your collar adjusted, but that don't mean your shirt was bad. You know, just little collar, just little tweaks to bring things out. But that's what I'm saying with you, that there's some adjustments that need to be made so some things could stand out and can move to be completed. Some necessary adjustments need to be made. Adjustments can be made in many areas. You know, we never know what it is until you seek and ask God. So you know what it is, or if you don't, you know how to get the answer. So just get those adjustments that's needed to move forward in Jesus' name.
Amen. Next caller, 610-969. Lord, we just thank you for 610-969. Thank you for the, like, I see the Lord reigniting you. Because sometimes we get tired. And that's just natural to get tired. And sometimes we lose our fire. But I see the Lord reigniting your fire to where you are blazing very bright, where you are burning things up and kind of getting back some of the things that just life has kind of taken from you. You know, people get tired. Like even now that we're how many years now to have a pandemic, it has changed people. It's just natural to, as you experience things in life, to be changed, but you don't have to stay, you don't have to continue in things that have changed when it's changed you, not necessarily for the better, right? Because sometimes you're just tired. And I see God like reigniting you so that, you know, the weariness is off and the optimism is back. Sometimes dealing with people, you can become very jaded dealing with people. My sister and I were having a conversation about that today, about in the realm of friendships and how when people are constantly pulling from you or people just, you know, aren't doing things that are cool or whatever in general, how a person can become very jaded when it comes to friendships. And that could just happen in any instance in life where people can, you know, you can become tired. So you don't have as much zeal, you don't have as much energy for things, but God's going to reignite that fire. So we just thank you for that. Let that be done in Jesus' name. Amen. Next person here is 903-808.
Lord, we just thank you for wisdom, Father God. We thank you for, infinite wisdom, tapping into God's infinite wisdom is key to, real success. just being in the will of God, you are successful in seeking after what God has for you. That's success. That's success. The world's measure of success can't compare. It never can compare to what it means to be successful in the eyes of God. And so learning how what true success is, learning what true success is really going to be beneficial for you moving forward and those around you, because when you know what true success is, you have peace. You have a God-given peace that's just in your life that cannot be shaken or disturbed by what's going on outside, what's going on all around you, because your measure of success is not based on what others say, what others identify as meaning you successful. Oh, you don't have a house? Because I don't own a home, I'm not successful. Oh, you don't drive a car? Because I don't drive a car, I'm not successful.
Mm-hmm.
Like, to whose standards? The question that you should ask is, like, who dictates what success is?
Right.
We have so many people in this world running after a false sense of success, And they reach their goal and it's empty. They're empty. They don't know what to do with themselves. Because they probably done all type of dirt to try to get there. But God says, smooth sailing with you. Smooth sailing in Jesus' name.
Amen. Next caller is 850966. Well, we just thank you for 850966. We thank you for victory, overcoming victory. It's like I see you've been battling something for a while. You know, all battles aren't created equal. Sometimes we have very short battles. Sometimes they're long and drawn out, and those long ones can sometimes it feels like there's no end in sight, where you're like, man, is this going to end or what? Like, and when you have those long battles, you really learn how to trust God. You really learn how to not focus on it. You really learn how to just keep living your life. Because sometimes when you're dealing with a long battle, you can, like, become consumed with it and make it like everything is about that. But I see it ending in victory for you. Kind of like when Joseph was in prison, he probably thought he was never going to get out. You know, he'd been there for quite a while. And when he got out, that's a battle. To know that you were falsely imprisoned, right? And then you were kind of like forgot about. So there's a battle that's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And when he got out, it's not like it was like, oh, well, it's over. You're just, that's it. Bye. Here's your sandals in your toga that you came in with or whatever the Egyptians wore. No, when he came out victorious, he was remembered for that dream interpretation. Trust was restored in him, and then he was elevated into a very high-ranking position and becoming a man of power and wealth. So all victories ain't the same. It wasn't like he just got out, like, well, bye, and tossed on the street. No, that victory came with a restoration and then some. And that's what I'm seeing for you. The victory's not going to just be like, oh, well, if it's over and that's it. And you're like, what? No, it's going to come with redemption, restoration, right? Because his name was redeemed. His name probably was Mud while he was in prison. But his name was restored.
Mm-hmm.
And then his name was honored, right? Because you have to, your name has to carry some weight for you to be put number two in all of Egypt. So his name was restored, and then his name was honored, and then he was restored. The time that he was in prison, if he would have just worked as a regular person, he would have never accumulated what he got when he got out. right? So he it's like God redeemed his time, so to speak, and then some, and his name. And there was reconciliation within his family. So there was so much that came with that victory, and that's what I see for you. It's not just a, oh, the battle's over, that's it, bye-bye, go about your merry business. No, it's going to be the things that come along with it, restoration, redemption, you know, and elevation. So, Lord, we just thank you for that. Let that be done in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. That is everybody. So we thank you all. Be sure to call back at 8:45. Hit one that puts you in the queue. Listen to the word. Randy typically will pray over everybody on Wednesdays. As long as you have your hand up and hitting one lets him know, a little hand pops up on the control board so that he knows that you want prayer. And we just love you. Mm-hmm. We really do. We're always praying for you. Pray for us too, please. Pray for Randy. Pray for this ministry. Pray for our world, our leaders. Pray for your home. Pray over your home. Pray over your city, because that dream really just kind of you know, reminded me how the devil and demons are always looking for openings, but they cannot. They don't supersede the authority that you have, and they don't supersede the name of Jesus. You can make a difference in your community and definitely your household. Plead the blood of Jesus. Plead the blood of Jesus. I'm begging you over your home and the things attached to you and your community and the things that the places that you're attached to. Use your God-given authority. So we love you. Until next time, good night.
Good night.